Good Friday and welcome to the Beauty Files. I'm Juanita. I'm so glad you can join us today. You know, this is the time of year where you have the good, the bad, and the ugly. And the ugly part of it, unfortunately, is stress. A lot of people are dealing with holidays, and it's not welcoming all the time. Sometimes it could be, a loss of a loved one during this time of the year, or maybe, you know, prior to that. It could be, you lost your job, you lost, a way where you're not able to afford to buy your loved one's gift because, you know, of course, Christmas is one of the most materialistic holidays out there. And then just the stress of just shopping for gifts and dealing with your relatives. So we're going to touch on all that. We have three great guests that are going to join us today. Dr. Carol Richardson, she is a Reiki healer and intuitive life coach at the Washington Institute of Natural Medicine. She's going to be our first guest. And then later in the show, we have Dr. Shondell Knights, who is also from the Washington Institute of Natural Medicine, but she's also owns Nirvana Holistic Spa, and she specializes in stress management, and her spa travels to you. So that's something that you may may be interested in. And later in the program, we have Stephen Gaffney. He is a communications expert with Just Be Honest, and he's going to help us to understand how to respond to certain situations that sometimes get toxic, you know, when a family member says one thing and the next thing you know, you're throwing something at their face. Mm. Yeah, I guess I am sharing once again. So without further ado, Reverend Carolson Richardson, welcome to the Beauty Files.
Thank you, Juanita. Glad to be here.
Tell us about what you do and how you help, because we just shared something prior to us going on the air about something that happened to you personally, and a lot of our listeners are going through the same thing that you went through when you were 28. Share with us about that.
Okay. Well, if I may first say, yes, Reiki is one of the primary things that I do, and Reiki energy healing is so calming and so de-stressing. That's one of the major, major benefits. So when we are stressed, looking to that source, a very calm, peaceful, loving energy, is one of the very best things we can do. So I recommend it highly for just that, even.
Now, Reiki is for those of us who do not know what that is. Can you tell us what it is exactly?
Well, how to describe the indescribable. Reiki is a Japanese word that means universal life force. For thousands of years in the East, there has been this understanding that there is this life force energy. In Sanskrit, it's called prana. So people who do yoga do pranayama breathing. When you hear Tai Chi and Qigong, the Qi and the Ki also refer to this life force energy. In the West, we've had different religious ways of understanding it, but basically it's this understanding that life has an energy to it. And I could go on about that, but
right,
it would probably
right.
take up the whole segment instead of de-stressing. So.
And that basically helps people to relax more, or if they're feeling stressed?
Definitely. Reiki can help with all sorts of health issues. It helps emotionally, spiritually, and physically. So it can help with anything and everything, but one of the primary hallmarks is precisely that, just de-stressing.
Wow. And we need that in our lives right now.
We do. We definitely do. Yeah, I have one client who's coming to me before traveling to see her family for the holidays and then coming back to see me after traveling to see her family for the holidays.
What about during, though?
During, well, she'll be a little far. Now, during, although I do distance healing as well, so that is an option if you're with your family.
Yeah, I can imagine that, because I can imagine someone calling you on the phone and, I mean, this is probably the extreme, but, you know, Reverend, I need you to really come to see me because I'm about to literally kill somebody. I mean, it's like, because it gets so stressed, and family members in particularly, they don't realize the buttons that they can push. Mm-hmm. And even if you tell someone, and I like to get your insight, if you even tell them or tell someone, a family member, hey, you know, I really wish you would stop, you know, how do you do that? How do you go about just, you know, exiting and just saying, I need to get into a space where I'm calm?
Mm-hmm. Well, first, the first principle is owning our own stuff, OK? okay?
Yeah.
So just because someone is ranting and raving in front of us doesn't mean that we can just put it all on them. You know, we need to say, I'm having a hard time dealing with this.
Right.
You know, I'd love to dialogue with you. I want to talk this through, but right now I know I need to calm down.
Right.
So I need to take a breather. I need a little space. You know.
Oh, that's good. I like that. And what do you tell people who, you know, because I did touch on something earlier before we talked about Reiki.
Sure.
A lot of people have lost loved ones, or they have loved ones in Iraq, or something happened with their jobs. Mm-hmm. How do you help people with that?
Well, did you want me to share my personal story first to sort of lead in?
I would love for you to.
Okay. I was actually widowed at the age of 28. I had a 7-month-old son and a 22-month-old daughter. And my husband was 34 when he died suddenly of a cerebral aneurysm. Now, granted, that was in July, so we had plenty of time to prepare for the holidays, but all of a sudden I became a young widow, a single mom, and you talk about stress.
Yeah.
I was working on my master's in public health degree, so that kind of went on hold for about 2 months, I think, before I could get back to it. But basically, what I've learned in terms of that is from two angles. One, being a single mother and handling the holidays is, you know, huge, especially if you're working.
Right.
So what I learned is to start months ahead of time. So one of the keys to dealing with holiday stress is to start looking for stocking stuffers months ahead of time. Because, you know, children are going to change their tastes between age 4.5 and age 5, which they might all of a sudden be 5 by Christmas, and they like something totally different. But stocking stuffers, you can start with that, and you can start planning ahead. So that's a big key for dealing with the stress. The first year that we celebrated Christmas without my late husband, I bought ornaments to remember him, one for each of us. So that became part of our family ritual, was to put the ornaments, remembering Daddy, on the Christmas tree.
Right.
Not that my children were even old enough to remember him, but it was a way of remembering and honoring someone. For me, there was a lot of grieving. For the kids, it was remembering and honoring that they had, you know, had a father. And I think one of the important things that we don't do as much in our culture anymore with our, you know, 3-letter text messages and so forth.
Right.
Is, Juanita, we don't tell stories.
Oh, wow.
And
yeah.
Stories are so important and sacred to share. You know, let me tell you about the time when your father and I did this.
Wow.
Or, you know, just the other day, I was celebrating with my daughter the many compliments I was given for her at her job. And I said, your father would be so proud of you. You know, so remembering and honoring someone and telling stories. So if you have a loved one, say, in Afghanistan or Iraq or wherever, serving overseas, just take time to remember your favorite stories together. Take time to tell that person what you love about them, what you cherish. As a matter of fact, a couple of Valentine's days ago, I wrote up a little something about memories about my late husband for my children, because they never really did know him.
Right.
So holidays can be a time to say, you know, this person was important in my life, and this is a story I want to share with you. Whether it's maybe, say, a grandfather. My grandfather was, you know, an inspiring person, and I like to make sure that my children hear things like even the simple, basic, beautiful concept that he shared of stop eating before you get full. You know, I mean, you know, who does that? But my grandfather did, you know. It's, you know. So, you know, the delightful things that we can cherish from loved ones who've gone on, those are so important to share.
Now, you touched on children. How do you prepare your kids, or how do you deal with when you have children and you're a little stressed? What should you do? What should you not do?
Well, first of all, whenever we're stressed, all of us need to remember to breathe, because when we stress, we start breathing. When we feel stressed, we start breathing shallowly, and we're not actually calming down and taking care of ourselves. When we breathe, it can help us calm down and be present for children who, more than anything else, just need our attention. We think we have to run to the store and get that gift, But right now, in this moment, we need to get down on their level, look them in the eyes, and listen to them. They need that gift from us, and maybe a hug, or a, okay, this is what's really important to you right now. They need that more than things.
And what do you tell, so how do you tell a person that, you know, you say, for instance, you had a family or you had a Christmas the year before and you've had everything, your kids got any and everything, they all the latest gadgets or whatever, and then mommy or daddy lost their job and they're not able to afford to give you the things that they did last year. And you and your kids are, they can't understand, well, you know, why can't we have this? How do you explain that to them without feeling this? I mean, because it is a stressful time as well.
Well, hopefully you have a value system in place, whether it's from your faith tradition or from just your family heritage, where you have found ways to express that human beings are more important than things.
Yeah.
And that we live in this big, amazing world, this universe. And there are ways to find, you know, to express those values to children, to say, you know what, you are important to me. And what we can do this Christmas or this season is take time to be with each other. So we can choose things we really love to do and do that instead. The money is not everything in life.
Right. And I also think that, you know, I love what you were talking about, you know, making ornaments in memory of your husband. Mm-hmm. I love that idea. And I love the idea that families or people incorporate making things or showing their kids how to volunteer.
Yes.
And do something to volunteer, like volunteer your time. Go and,
yes,
and make gifts or make brownies or something for,
yeah,
homeless kids, because, you know,
yeah,
in a scheme of things, you're doing great if you have a roof over your head and you're still able to,
right,
you know, wake up in a bed.
There was one Christmas, I think you'll love this, I was I was in divinity school, and but we had a church, the church where I was ordained. I got to be an intern there. I don't think it was that year. But it was Christmas Eve, and I had committed us to helping with a homeless shelter program. Our church that night, Christmas Eve, was hosting homeless people sleeping in the fellowship hall. So I had volunteered myself and my children to spend Christmas Eve night, the whole night, volunteering with the homeless people.
Oh, that's great.
And so my children were young enough, Juanita, I put them in the car, tucked them, you know, fastened them in their car seats, and then ran inside and filled the stockings and set out the Santa presents, you know, and then went back to the car.
Oh, my goodness.
My children were like, how did you do that, Mom? You know? So I finally, years later, told them that that's how I got the Santa Claus presents and the, you know, out and the stockings filled. And then we went and we spent the night with homeless folks. And there was, you know, we did the Christmas Eve service, and then one of my favorite memories was we strung popcorn, and my daughter was sitting with a homeless woman stringing popcorn for the church Christmas tree in the fellowship hall.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, you can't replace a Christmas like that.
No, you really can't, and it gives you a whole different sense of appreciation of how much you really have, even when you think you don't have a lot, or you don't have as much as the next person or the person down the street. You come to an appreciation of what you have. It's so so grand.
Yes, and that brings me to another principle, that when we're stressed, taking time to be grateful is huge.
Yeah.
Gratitude is like an instant spiritual reset button.
Oh, I like that.
Yes. It connects us with our divine source, the universe, our higher power, our, you know, whatever you want to call it, our creator,
right,
God. When we take time to be grateful, it connects us to the source of all that is, you know, the abundance, the love, everything we cherish.
Yeah.
And so it helps us go, you know what, I don't need to feel this stressed out. You know, I can just be grateful for what I do have. And when we have lost loved ones, I'd like to remind us that we need to focus on the people who are in our life. Because,
yeah,
Juanita, if we have someone in our life who loves us, that is a miracle.
Yeah.
having people in our lives whom we cherish and who cherish us is the best Christmas miracle that we have in this moment, short of, you know, grander sense of divine presence. But that is the presence of the divine loving us and us loving them.
Oh my God, you just gave me chill bumps. I but that's so true, Doc. It's so true, Reverend. I couldn't have put that any perfect, because gratitude is so important, and sharing, and even if you think you don't have enough to share, you know, I have gotten to a point now where, and I've done it, and you know, not to expect anything back, but I have gotten to a point where I'll have a coat in my car that I've worn to go out, and I'll see someone on the street, and I'll give it to them, because I'm thinking I'm returning back to a car with heat. You're sitting on a corner shivering, you know, trying to, and it just, the feeling that I get from doing that is amazing.
Yes.
It's just amazing for me. And it's no one saying, you know, oh, you, it's just me seeing that someone has appreciated something that I have done for them.
Yes. Touching another person's life is the most powerful experience we can have in a positive way.
Right.
In a loving, giving, positive way. It doesn't matter what else we do in life, but if we touch others through small acts, big acts, it's mostly, as Mother Teresa said, we can do no great act, only small acts with great love. It's those small acts that touch people. And touching people is the divine, you know, it is. It is
right.
Divine.
And it's a stress, and, you know, we're talking about stress. It relieves stress. It's
Absolutely.
A stress-relieving measure for me.
Absolutely. Stress, the opposite of stress is being in that space of peace and acceptance and love and joy. And whenever we're focused on lack or what we haven't yet gotten done, then we're in the stress space instead of the peace and the love and joy of this is what I've received, this is what I'm sharing, this is what I'm giving, this is the joy of right now.
Yeah. And when you say breathe,
yes.
Is there a proper way that we should be breathing to remove ourselves from the situation of how we're feeling?
That's a great question. Just a simple clearing breath is really great. Just breathing in deeply through the nose, meaning when I say deeply, I mean filling your lungs, and then sighing out through your mouth. And one can make noise with that. So, and if as one breathes in, we can breathe in that sense of peace, and one can breathe out all the stressful stuff. But mostly it's just breathing in, filling our lungs completely, because we just often don't do that anymore. You know, we're in such a hurry.
And I actually do find my, I mean, because I'll try to measure it sometime. I was in a situation that I did not do the breathing, and I felt myself losing it. And I think that if I had stopped and just, you know, did the breathing, because I felt myself just, you know, just trying to get something else out. And that's when I reached, you know, my vehicle, I realized, yeah, you just, number one, you said something that you shouldn't have said. And then number two, you really should have stopped and just breathed.
Exactly. People say count to 10, but if you're not breathing while you're counting
right.
to 10,
you know,
it's not going to help you calm down very
count
much.
Count to 10, and then you're like, hey, and one more thing. No. I forgot to tell you this.
Now that I've got the floor.
Yeah, exactly. Now that I'm on 10, here's 10 more things I need to let you know. Reverend Carol Richardson, you are an amazing woman. I love having you on my show all the time. You always bring me back.
Thank you.
You always bring me back. It's amazing how just hearing your voice and listening to the advice that you give, you actually helped the situation for me. I don't want to share, and I don't want to get upset on the air, but you actually helped me with a situation of my own, a personal situation. So I thank you for that. And and the people that have just sent me, I can't ask her now because I have to go on a break and get our next guest. But we had a lot of questions that just came on the email, and basically they were, you know, asking about family members. And you've given that information. They asked about the breathing, and they also asked about a death in the family, and it wasn't a good. They're saying not a good death. It was a homicide. So we will bring Reverend Carol Richardson on next year, because I would love for her to be a part of our New Year's show about what to do next in your lives. So if Reverend Carol Richardson is available, I would love to have her back.
I am available, and please feel free to share my contact information.
Oh, please do. By all means, please let us know how to get in contact with you.
Well, I have my own website is lightworkertraining.com.
Okay.
And my email is a little hard to for most people, but you may reach me at B as in boy, A, B as in boy, IE, N as in Nancy, GE at AOL.com.
And I will repeat that at the end of the program as well. And also, Reverend Richardson has a book out that's on Amazon. It's called Exodus 2012, A Mission to Save the Earth and Aging Well, Be Your Best Self Forever. And that's on Amazon now. So that's something to look forward to as well. Reverend Richardson, thank you so much for being on the Beauty Files.
You're welcome. Thank you, Juanita. Bye-bye.
And coming up next, Shondell Knight with Nirvana Holistic Spa. She's going to be joining us in about 30 seconds. Give us a moment. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Beauty Files. Reverend Carol Richardson, what a wonderful person she is. And again, you can reach her if you'd like to email her. She's at babienge@aol.com. And you can also check out her book on Amazon.com, A Mission to Serve the Earth and Aging Well, Be Your Best Self Forever. Now we're joined by Dr. Shondell Knight. She is with Nirvana Holistic Spa, and she's also with the Washington Institute of Natural Medicine. Welcome to the Beauty Files.
Why, thank you so much. Thank you.
So, yeah, we're talking about stress. Oh, okay. We're talking about you saw me trying to get the parking space. Oh my God, are you serious? Okay, do I get out of my car? You know you're at that point. We're at that point now where any little thing could possibly happen, from not getting a parking space to not getting the correct order on our McDonald's French fries. I mean, it's just.
I know. And then we start screaming at people. I know.
Exactly. So, doctor, what can we do? How do we deal with this?
Well, right there, I would describe that as adrenal fatigue. The adrenals are that point in your body that manages stress. It regulates that cortisol hormone that manages stress. And when you are at that point where you're just like, I can't take it anymore, the pipe dripping is driving me crazy, it's time to take a step back, you know? It's time to take a step back and take a moment for yourself. There's lots of ways that we can handle stress. Matter of fact, stress is an everyday thing, right? We all have stresses. How we and how we respond to stress is what really shows how we thrive in this world, right? So, like you said, I'm with Nirvana Holistic Spa. I'm also with the Washington Institute of Natural Medicine. So with Nirvana, I have been managing and running a spa for the last 8 years. So let me tell you, that's what we do. We do stress. We do stressed out individuals, and we do massages. We do facials. We do all types of things. And one of the ways we do this is we go to people's homes and do services. So that's a suggestion. If you're doing it at home for yourself, you know, you can always draw a bath, you know. When you're going to that place and you're extremely stressed, just tell everyone in your life, I need an hour. I need an hour, and I'll deal with everything else later. You go in your home, you go in your bathtub, you draw a bath, you put some magnesium salts in there, which really helps to relax the blood vessels and kind of bring us back down. And just the time and the space to center ourselves makes an amazing difference. And then you can go back out and deal with the world, but especially ladies, we never ever take that time for ourselves. You know, do a beauty day for yourself. Do 2 hours, do an hour, get some girlfriends together. Call us, we'll come over there and give you guys a spa party. Whatever it is, just realize that if you don't take that time for yourself, you're not going to be able to be very beneficial to anyone else. And you're going to be yelling at your kids, and your husband's going to annoy you, you know, and all of those things.
Let me ask you this, doctor. Okay, I have a question for you. How does the person who is supposed to help you relieve stress, how does she relieve stress? Because what if you had the whole situation where you were coming to me and I'm like, oh, my God, you got to come in and help me out. And you're coming here, you're helping me relieve my – but you encounter a situation – where you're, you know, you probably can handle it better than most people because you probably are trained or know what to do or what not to do. But do you ever get to that point where you're stressed out?
Oh, let me tell you. Last night I was preparing for this. Okay, so last night I decided, you know, I'm going to get up. Let me see what I want to talk about today. And then I had 3 other events came up. Like 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm getting emails like, oh, you need to do this. And I'm just like, oh, I tell everyone they need to be in bed at a certain time, and it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and I am still awake. I'm starting to stress out. I finish my things up, go to bed, but I wake up, and I'm still tired, you know, because haven't had enough sleep cycle for my body to regenerate. So I get up, and I'm going, and I'm stressed throughout the day, and I'm thinking, how am I going to go on this show and talk about stress? And I'm stressed like this. You know what I mean? I want a massage. You know, things are going on, and they're stressing me out. So I decided, you know what? I am going to live by my word. So what I did was I'm in Washington, D.C., so I just went over by the Tidal Basin. I got some food from Whole Foods, parked my car by the Tidal Basin, and I sat out there and watched the water for half an hour.
Wow.
It was amazing difference. My head stopped hurting. You know, I wasn't, you know, when the phone rang, I didn't make the ugliest face in the world because the phone was ringing, you know? I was able to come back to center. But that's all it is. You know, it's taking that time. Things like water are naturally centering. You know, we don't have to use pills and all of these things. Something I use as well that I always carry with me are essential oils. Things like lavender and lemongrass are really good pick-me-uppers. Just the scent of it. Aromatherapy, which comes from essential oils, and these are plant-based things, like plants that have been potentized. You just take a nice whiff of it. You put it on the sides of your wrist, like you're putting on perfume, put it behind your ears, and just watch the difference. I have this product of lemongrass and lavender that I use a lot. I often say it's what I use when the sun didn't come out today for me. You know, when I'm all gloomy and sad, this is what I dab on, and it really does make a difference.
Well, now, okay, so do you have any particular type of essential oils that you could refer to us and tell us? Like, I know lavender helps sleep. I for some reason, I think cinnamon is supposed to do something.
Cinnamon does do something.
Time I smell it, I feel amazing. I don't know what it is, but cinnamon, for some reason, I just feel warm and fuzzy sometimes when I smell cinnamon.
And you know what? That's why we use cinnamon in a lot of holiday cooking.
Okay.
Because it does do that. It raises our spirits. You know, it raises our serotonin levels. So cinnamon is one of the things I do like. Melissa, or lemon balm, is actually one of my favorite of all time herbs for this.
Love lemon balm.
Love it. I will walk down the street and see a lemon. lemon balm pie. I just go grab it and rub it in my hands and just take a nice deep breath. And it's all over the place. Once you can recognize lemon balm, you can find it all over the city. Your little escape from the world can be right in the city, right in front of you. And that's what I love about my medicine, is that it's all here. It's available. You don't necessarily need to go to some pharmaceutical place. You can find your medicine right in front of you, you know?
And when you come to someone's house, when you come to a person's house and you do your spa treatments, how does a person prepare for you? I mean, do we have to have like the table, and what if I want to soak, and what if I want, you know, to have my friends come by? I mean, do we have separate rooms? I mean, how do we do that? Arrange that.
So my girls, like, we have been so good at this. Like, we started doing this at hotels that didn't have their own spas. So we'd go up into the hotel room. You know, we have all of our own equipment. As a matter of fact, one of our largest contractors is the Grand Hyatt Hotel. But we will take our own equipment with us. We'll bring the oils. The essential oils are absolutely necessary. You know, the sheets. We'll bring everything. All you need is the space. So if it's an individual thing, we have... You know, a lot of times we do, one of my favorite services actually is the milk and honey soak. And what we do, it's delicious. It sounds delicious and it is fabulous. So you get the massage. You know, and at the end of it, we actually pour this mixture of milk and honey onto your skin while we're wrapping up. And we wrap you into what almost looks like a sleeping bag. And you lay there for about 10 minutes and let it seep into your skin. And we ask you to grab a robe after that and just put it on and we leave. And you go sit in the back, and you do whatever you want. You get treated like kings and queens when you do this, because we want to give you that experience. We want you to feel like, I have escaped from this world, you know? So those are the spa treatments. Things like that we do on an everyday basis. Now, if you wanted a spa party, you and five of your ladies wanted to get together, we'll do that, too. We'll bring nail technicians, massage therapists. We'll set up different rooms, redecorate the place. We usually tell everyone to go into one room, and then we decorate the area so you can come back and get that awe effect.
Oh,
and then just
with
your ladies getting massages, or, you know, gentlemen do it as well. And so you can get any service you want. We will bring it to your home, because we spent 8 years or more customizing this where we can actually bring our products to someone's home and let it be comfortable. And when we leave, we don't leave anything behind. We clean up. It's just the only thing left is wonderful aromatherapy. It's just sitting in your house. You can breathe in and remember we were there.
Oh, I'm looking at your website, and for those of you who want to get more information, because I'm getting some emails, so I'll ask those questions. But NirvanaHolisticSpa.com is the website, and I'm looking at your goal, and it says, our goal is to heal by channeling the power of nature through the talented and therapeutic touch of our therapists. I love that. And someone just sent a question about facials, and they wanted to find out, is there a certain type of facial that they could get that would be a stress-relieving facial, if that is such a thing?
You know, in general, all of these spa services are stress-relieving because you're channeling things like putting you in a relaxation mood. The music takes you into a certain mood, so you already start to release those great endorphins. So no matter what spa service you get, you will be relaxed. Like, just taking you into the environment of spa, you'll start to breathe differently, and our technicians will work with you to take you into that place of relaxation. Now, different masks will work for different skin conditions. So, facials are more so for particular skin conditions. Now, when we do a facial, we do massaging as well. So a scalp massage will usually come with a facial and a hand massage. So all of those things will already automatically put you in a relaxation mood. Our basic facial, which is what I would suggest for that young lady, it comes with like a mint scrub and a julep, and it really helps to pull things out. But the aromatherapy of those two things actually cause a great amount of relaxation.
Wow. And you know, I also read somewhere where the foot has a lot of things to do with pains, emotions, or whatever. And I noticed that you have a foot spa, a deluxe spa with a pedicure and manicure. But you have here, you have a foot bath that relieves, or let me see if I make sure I'm reading it right. That's the body. That want to know about the body wrap too. But you have a foot
detox.
Yeah, a detox, exactly, and it extracts harmful toxins and chemicals from the body. How does that happen? How do you do that?
So this particular machine, it works on ions. So it's kind of negative and positive ions. So a lot of our toxic substances in our bodies have a specific charge to them. So with this machine, it has an electrode, and it won't shock you, I promise. I've stuck my foot and my hands in there a million times. But there's an electrode in there, and it's activated by salt ions, and that reacts with certain chemicals in your body. So a lot of the times I see with smokers, because it's heavy metals and toxins in their body bringing in from all of those impurities in the cigarette, will actually come out through the foot. When we put this ion and the electrode in there, it starts to pull on those heavy metals. Because one thing that cigarette has is a lot of heavy metals. So generally, in the society that we live in, we're always breathing in different heavy metals and different toxins. And this really just helps to draw things out from within and bring it out through the pores of the feet. Reflexology in general, though, which we were talking about in the beginning, connects to different organs in our body. And it's a foot massage that pays particular attention to different areas of the foot that relate to different organs. And this just comes way back from Chinese medicine. They studied this over millions of years, and it just works, you know? It works.
So now I'm reading also something, because I know that this would be a nice stress relief. And all of these services that Dr. Nice is talking about, they all help relieve stress. And I think that is so important that we should incorporate one of these services when we're dealing with the stresses of the holiday, whether it be shopping, cooking, family, a loved one that you've lost, kids asking for everything that you don't want to buy. Uh-huh. I mean, all that. But there's something on here that I find very, very interesting, and I'm actually going to take advantage of it. You have a body wrap. And now this is what you say. You say it provides a lasting inch loss and detox while you relax in a luxurious head-to-toe massage. So my question is the inches off.
Mm-hmm.
Because that would relieve anybody's stress if they could get something. Oh, I can fit this dress now. Look at me. Oh, my gosh.
You know, and it really does work. It's not only works on compression, but we also add herbs, and it's a priority mixture that we use to put on the skin that helps to draw some of those toxins out of the skin that kind of leave us lumpy in certain areas. So what happens is that your technician will first wrap you we'll first put the mixture onto you and then wrap you in with a gauze, and then we'll put you in our infrared machine, which is portable as well. It looks like a sleeping bag, and you'll be laying in that portable, and what infrared does is keeps up the tissues from it within. So, you know, when you're sitting in a sauna, your skin starts to get really warm and you're ready to get out. Infrared works a little bit differently. It works on subcutaneous tissue. So it'll go in a little bit deeper, and it'll start to heat up that tissue right underneath that first layer, and that helps us to break down some of those fat cells. With the addition of those herbs on your body and the breaking down of the fat cells, we're able to pull things out through your skin. And then the last phase of that is that you're adding compression, so you're kind of remolding that area. So this takes a series of treatments to get to there. Like you have the posture and the weight you have right now. It took time to get there. It's going to take some time to get off, but it does, in conjunction with an exercise program, I see amazing, amazing results. You know, especially for those people that are exercising and are getting somewhere, they're like, well, I still have this specific area that still has an issue. That's what it really targets. Yeah.
How did you get involved in all this? Because it sounds, you have so much going on as far as you know everything that it is to release stress. Was it hard for you to get involved with this?
You know, not at all. I started out as a massage therapist about 10 years ago, and, you know, the journey, like, from massage therapy to naturopathic physician was quite amazing. It's almost like I was being pulled by a force, you know. I was like, I love doing massage. I love making people feel good. And then I thought, you know what, I was working for a company. I didn't like how they did it. So I said, you know what, I could do better than that. So I started my own company. And as I started to do it more, I was like, I can do better personally. I can be of more help if I got more education. So I went back to school. and got my naturopathic medical degree. And so now I do what I do is stress management in my naturopathic practice. It's stress management, addiction, anxiety, chronic pain, and all of those things get balled up into a similar cycle that starts in the same place. So it's been a journey over the last 10 years for me, but a very, very, very rewarding one for me.
Because see, now you just touched on another thing, and I'm gonna wrap it up in a few minutes. But you just touched on one other thing, and every time you say so, it's something else I want to ask you. But you touched on addiction, and addiction. Mm-hmm. A lot of addiction happens this time of the year too, as far as the addiction level has increased.
Yeah, and let me say this about that. Dopamine, one of our neurotransmitters, or those things in our brain, is very linked to addiction. And it's that same dopamine is the feeling we get when we're around family members and when when we're in love and when we first have a child. The hormone is at its highest. So during the season, when we're looking for the people that are loved ones, so a lot of people go turn to substances when they can't find it in their friends, in their family, and whatever their social community is. So that's one of the reasons that we see more addictions in this season. Also, the sun is changing angles, and there's something called seasonal affective disorder where our moods start to switch because we're not getting enough vitamin D from the sun. And these are medical conditions that, you really should see your physician if you're feeling sad or overwhelmed during this season. Like, please contact me, contact another physician. Get some help because there is help. It's not that you just have to tough it out. There is help out there for you. You know what I mean?
So and there's help out there for you that's not, and there's help out there for you that's not, you don't have to take any medication. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
You don't have to take medication for everything. I mean, and we're such a highly medicated society that everything is fixed with a pill. So it's actually nice to see or hear that there is a technique that we can incorporate where you don't have to take any type of medication.
Exactly. And I have a whole bag of techniques. Like, everyone is different and going to come and present themselves in a different way. I will meet you where you're at and figure out how we can get you to the place that you want to be. I do everything from herbal to biofeedback. Like, my list of things that I utilize and that really help that are non-pharmaceutical is so amazing. And honestly, so many studies have come out to show that the pharmaceutical agents that the traditional doctors are using are not working, and they're not working as effectively as natural treatment options.
Well, Dr. Knights, thank you so much for being a guest on our show. And if you want to reach Dr.
Knights, it is my pleasure.
If you want to reach Dr. Knights, she's at NirvanaHolisticSpa.com. Coming up next in 30 seconds, we'll be joined by Stephen Gaffney. He's a communications expert, and he's going to show us or teach us how to talk to people, how to talk to your relatives, how to not yell, how to say, okay, it's okay. We'll be back in 30 seconds. Give us a chance to get back. Welcome back. And our continuing topic on dealing with stress in the holidays. And, you know, I have the perfect person on here. And I just have to give his accolades. He is a wonderful communications expert. We're talking with Stephen Gaffney. And, Stephen, welcome to the Beauty Files.
Thanks for having me on.
You know, sometimes the stress of the holidays can just do a number on everyone, including myself. And, you know, I just want to know, because you are a communications expert, how do a person get from not screaming back at another human being or your family member to just being calmly and just communicating what you want and how you want it?
Well, there's a lot of strategies, but obviously first we have to look at our self-talk. For example, if we're going to a family function and say, I know it's going to be awful. I know it. I just know it's going to happen. And then that relative says something that we have predicted, and then we just allow ourselves to fly off the handle. And then we're,
exactly.
But the problem is we're really blaming that other person. When we really look at it, and this is real confronting, but nobody can push our buttons unless we allow them to push our buttons. Nobody's creeping inside our body, moving our lips, making us be upset. They're doing their thing, and we're reacting. And what's so astonishing is when we see this train wreck coming, why do we get so upset? If we know it's going to be coming, instead, we should probably look at it in a different way. And one of the ways is to look at it in a different way.
Right.
You know, for example, you know, we could say at least we have family. Or if you're stressed out as you're sitting in line, you know, trying to buy gifts, at least we have money to buy gifts. There are a lot of
That's
people out there
true.
Who don't have that money.
So now, let me ask you this question, Stephen. I know something that you had said, your focus will determine your future.
Yes.
How do we get to that point where what we want to say, we don't want to say it out loud, because if we say it out loud, it will cause someone else to be hurt, or more importantly, it'll cause us to react in another way?
Well, there's two things that I think we got to consider. One is obviously our self-talk, as we address. But the other thing is to remember whoever asks the questions controls the conversation. So if we don't like a particular subject matter that's happening at the dinner table or a side conversation, instead of blaming the other person, take control of the conversation and just redirect the conversation. For example, if they're saying, you know, about politics or religion or just talking about how bad the year has been or something just doom and gloom, just turn and say, you know, we can talk all about this, but I have a question. Looking back at this year, what are you most proud of? What's your biggest accomplishment? What do you think people most misunderstand about you? In other words, just take charge of the conversation instead of blaming the other person, and our questions dictate our focus.
So do you think that person will find that you were being rude, or you just like, oh, my God, no, she didn't change the subject. I'm trying to get this point across, and she just changed the subject.
Oh, we can, yeah, there's a lot of things. If somebody says, it seems like you're changing the subject, yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely. That's exactly what I'm doing. Cast out of line, you caught me there, you know.
Oops, it just came out.
Yeah, I was at a function, and this is going to astonish you. I was at a function, and somebody actually said, Obama is the Antichrist.
Okay, well, there
you go. And so I was like, oh, my God. And then I just thought, and everybody in the room just went silent because they're thinking, that person's a crazy person.
Right.
And so I actually just redirected. I said, well, all right, well, let's move right along. And we didn't even need to address it. I mean, I think the person already just exposed himself and also just, you know, was just not a...
But when you hear people say stuff like that, do you think that it's because there's something wrong with them? Like they are having some type of pain that they have to say crazy crap like that? Or, I have somebody who always, whenever we go to a social event, all they talk about is work. And that is the last thing you want to hear is about work. You want to hear about how good the donuts or the coffee or whatever was. But you don't, how do you shift from that? Like get into a social conversation as opposed to, oh, my God, my job is just this and my staff. I mean, how do you get away from that?
Well, I think it's asking just different questions. For example, if somebody is talking about their work, you just redirect it. See, what I find interesting is people complain about the other person and about conversations, but they do little about it. So they're just sitting in the back seat of their car instead of getting in the front seat, so to speak, of their life and taking charge of their life. And so, and the other thing is just to remember that what people say, negative or whatever's coming out of their mouth, for the most part, has very little to do about us. It most and what's actually happening, it has a lot to do with who they are inside. So that person that is talking about work, chances are that's all they have going on in their life. And you can get upset about it, or you can say, "Wow, that's kind of sad." And you might say, "Well, so what are your hobbies? What are you doing?" And if they say, "Well, you know, it seems like you don't want to talk about work." Yep, cat's out of the bag again. You caught me.
So now, what if you shifted and you said that? That's funny. And you say, "Wow. So how you doing? That's a nice dress. Where'd you get that from? Yeah. Well, my stack. That's a fabulous color." Do you shift it like that? Are you abrupt about it, or do you just say, "Wow, that's so sad. You have nothing else to do with your life." I mean, then you get thrown out of the room.
Yeah, that was the inside voice becoming the outside voice.
Probably. Yeah, stay inside.
Well, the other thing is nobody can, you know, when people say somebody's argumentative, it always takes two to have an argument. So one of the things we could do is just not have that argument. So there might be things that we're thinking inside, but then we really have to ask ourselves a question. Do I really want to debate this person, and is this how I want to spend my time? You know, I think what's really imperative is us to keep focused on really what's the end game here. And the end game here is obviously to cherish the time we're with the people that we love and we care about. And so a lot of it depends on taking charge of things, and also, you know, spending time with who we want to. So if you're at a party and somebody's a jerk, just don't hang out with them. Just go to somebody else. Somebody say, "Well, what if the whole family's that way?" Well, that's another radio segment that we've got to do.
Yeah, because it's funny because someone sent me an email or just sent to ask you, and they said, "What if the whole family is foul?"
But there's other things kind of really cool and creative to do. So, for example, when somebody's negative, but they're negative and picking apart at you, and this is going to astonish some people probably as they're listening, but my experience has been that with somebody who says, "Well, you know, Juanita, you know, you didn't do this and you didn't do this, and you got to take care of yourself, and are you eating right and everything else," you can hear that as they're bugging me, or you could hear this as, "Wow, they really love me." Because really, if you think about it, the opposite of love is indifference, as they say. So somebody who's picking us apart, maybe, and this is I also found kind of fascinating, it's their way of showing that they love us in a lot of ways, and sometimes it's a cry for attention. Especially when older people pick us apart about what the younger folks aren't doing, a lot of it is when older folks want to be recognized for their wisdom and maybe even raising us. So what's much better is to, you know, one is to redirect the conversation with a question. The other thing is to just hear the true message they're trying to convey. So just turning and saying, "Wow, I get it that you love and you care for me. I really appreciate that, and I am taking care of myself." And what you'll find is their emotion will dissipate, and they won't be so negative.
Oh, wow. Yeah, because I'll hear, "When are you going to get married again?" Okay. Gee, what is wrong with being single? Is single a death wish or what? I mean, you hear that. Or if I go to another friend who's her family is foreign, or speaking a foreign tongue and they don't speak English. "When you get married." What is that? Do I look like I'm suffering? How do you respond to that, Stephen? "When you get married. When are you going to get married?" I mean, what did you say without that inside voice coming out and go, "You know what? What I really want to say." I mean, how do you approach that? I guess you redirect the question.
Yeah, or you can do the stomachache routine. "Oh my gosh, I have a stomachache. I gotta go."
Oh
no, but I think one. I think one thing though that we could do is the way we're hearing it's a little bit different, because we really want to say. "Well, if you're bringing up marriage, let's talk about your marriage.
Exactly.
How's that working?"
Let's talk. Right. You're single. You've never been married, you know. And look who you're marrying. Oh, my God. Do you really want to put your foot in that pool? Okay.
Yeah, we really want to say, "Hey, you're no role model, so what are you asking me for?"
Exactly. And by the way, is that your husband over there with that girl? No, let me stop.
Yeah. Really stir the pot.
And there goes the holiday dinner. See, I like the advice that you say, redirect and listen to someone as they're talking, because you're absolutely right. That's sometimes the cry for help, or you just have to redirect it.
Yes, and really listen for the true message. And often people who are, you know, picking us apart, it is truly a reflection of how they feel inside. But also those feelings, we don't want to miss it. It could be just their way of showing that they love us, and so yeah, that's their way of trying to contribute. It's just so fascinating. For example, one other thing I want to make sure we mention is about the strategy of reach out and touch someone during this holiday season. What I mean by that is somebody who's alone. A lot of times somebody will say to us, well, I just want to be alone. But it's often because they feel that we don't want them. Or they might be reminded about the holidays. And so no, I say no means ask again.
Wow.
Some people may be really crying inside, and they just want somebody to be with.
That is an excellent way to end that. But you're so right, because I get friends that, you know, I invite them over and, oh, I'm just throwing something together. You know, once you got, oh, I just want to be alone. Do you really? Really? Then I'll just go over to their house sometime and I'll knock on their door. If they don't answer, I'll leave a package. It's like, I know you don't want to be alone. You're probably saying that because you're thinking that you'll be, and people think there'll be a burden.
Absolutely. And they have all kinds of things made up about their way of being. And maybe it's because they have had a lousy attitude. So they've been negative before, so nobody invites them anymore. But really, they don't realize how they've contributed to this. You know, I do a lot of stuff in the workplace, an awful lot of seminars, and that's the bulk of the work we end up doing. And I have found that people who are really negative and people who have really lousy attitudes don't really realize how negative and a lousy attitude they have. They just don't. They're so unaware of it. You might say, well, how does that happen? Because people usually don't tell them. They just start distancing themselves. And then that person says, see, people don't want to be around me, or you can't trust people, but they don't really realize that they're contributing to it. It kind of reminds me of that person who's always complaining about relationships. I always have bad relationships. Well, who's in common with them all?
I wonder why. Communications expert Stephen Gaffney with JustBeHonest.com. Thank you so much for being a guest on our show today. You have been amazing.
Thanks for having me.
I love the stomach ache. I'm going to use that too. JustBeHonest.com. I encourage you to check out his website. He has some amazing stuff, and his site tells you all the different good stuff and how you can communicate better with people. JustBeHonest.com. We were also joined by Dr. Shondell Knight, drknight.com. And also, we were joined by Reverend Carol Richardson, and all that information is on the website. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a wonderful holiday season. Take Stephen Gaffney's advice and, you know, control it and just redirect the question and the situation, and you'll be fine. You won't be throwing things at each other. oh, that's my crying song. Thank you so much, and you take care. Bye-bye.